And I just want to encourage you. I know for a fact that many people here had stuff, and I didn't call on you, and I was going to. So, but I decided not to. I decided for today I just wouldn't do that. But I'm just encouraging you in this. You have no idea what will happen if you actually step out with the things that you had. Now, I'm going to ask for a show of hands, and I promise you, and if I promise something, I can't break it. I promise you I'm not going to get up. But I want to ask you, in all sincerity, and I want everyone to look around. When we moved into that place of free worship, where there was a clapping, we actually, and the people became the instruments of God. I want you to answer this. Did any of you have a song, a sound, a harmony, a scat, a rap, or something that you didn't release? I promise I won't get you up. Okay, wow. Okay, make a note, Rachel, someone. Just get these names down. So how many people was that? About 10? About 10 people had something during the clapping that they could have released. Is that fair? Something in rhythm or what we did? You had a scat. How many people actually had a scat, like zibbity bop bop bop? Who was that? Two of you. Please. And I'm the one scatting. I've never scatted before. That was my first. Well, I've only ever heard that song, you know, Scat Man. I've never even scat. But I felt the Lord say that there is an anointing to scat in here tonight. So I'm saying, so two people had a scat. You had a scat. Don't even talk to Chantel. That's it. It's all over. Okay, I'm just joking. So how many people, how many of you even had a rap tonight? Be honest. Kim had a rap. Look, get your cameras out. Pin, do you want to release a rap right now? No, it needs to be in rhythm. Okay, next time. But just watch this space. Kanye Kim is going to be up at some time in the future. And so... But this is what I'm trying to explain. How many people actually had a harmony tonight? You didn't sing the harmony. It's crazy. Let me encourage you. And so I'm saying when the mic's open, but you have this thing, you're like, I've got a harmony. Is it going to sound strange? Hopefully. But let me tell you this. 2/3 of God's name is odd, is it not? So I want to encourage you in something is when we come together like this, this is what things look like. And this is what it looks like to see the full, literally like a fuller, we call it the full counsel of God, but literally a fuller picture of God's creativity. And this is what it looks like in the midst of a prophetic culture. Is that good? So I'm disappointed but excited at the same time. So I knew I heard right, but I just wanted to... So next time, don't give up. So I've made a note of Marissa, Chantel, some of you other guys that put your hands up. It's like... But we've got to step out in that because I want you to understand that this is going to become the norm in the church. This is going to become the norm. Not all the time. Don't think if you get a song during worship, you're like, and they're in the middle of leading, you know, Rachel's leading or someone's leading, and you're like, I've got a song, I want to release it. It doesn't work like that. But it's actually about a flow, and we start to read the meeting in a flow. Does that make sense? And so and when we read the meeting in that flow, we go, wow, don't shut down. Don't shut down. Come on, open back up. Everyone breathe. Deep breath. Okay, is everyone okay? They're all thinking, who's thinking, is Daryl going to get me up right now? Is anyone thinking that? Okay, I'm actually not going to do it. We will next week. So be primed for next week. Next week there's going to be a lot of prophecy, and some of you guys will be prophesying. So get yourselves ready. And do not say when someone goes, hey, are you ready for church? No, I'm actually not feeling too good today. No, you come along. It's good. So, but that's good. I want to just start by doing the, start the officiation, as it were, just by doing the offering. So if the team could wait on us for that. And as we do that, how many people were here on Sunday? I know some of you guys don't come to Field of Dreams, but Todd announced officially that we have the building and that we're going to be moving. The official announcement is that we are moving to Maylands. And so we are doing that. Everything has been confirmed, which is wonderful. Now, there are still loans involved, which means that we are still, if you feel led in any way to give into the building, we would say it's 100% God. And even tonight's offering. And tonight's offering is going straight into the building, because how many of you know that we should and we will be owning that building outright? That's where we're at. So but we are so blessed to have things over the line, and Todd and Rachel and the team have just worked so hard to make sure that that happens for us. And isn't that wonderful? So good. Last weekend of June, at the latest, first weekend of July is our move date. That is so. Do you know what? It's the 22nd of May today. So we're not talking about a long time. You're only talking about a few more Sundays here with the car parking. So And I bless you guys. It's intense, I know. Yeah, it's getting, how many of you know that we are literally being squeezed out? That's what it feels like anyway. So, well, thank you so much for offering. Let's pray over that. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you praise and glory and honor. We thank you, God. We rejoice. It says, clap your hands, all your nations, and shout for joy. Father, we thank you for the building. We thank you, God, that you got us in there. We knew you would, but Father, we thank you for that. And we thank you, God, for every person that sowed into this offering. We thank you, God. We thank you that each and every one of them would be refreshed financially as a result, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we prophesy of every person that sowed in. Father, we thank you that their families would be recipients of them sowing into such something of such spiritual significance in this city. So, Father, we thank you for that. And, Father, we thank you for the building outright too, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that there would be something miraculous released as a result of us moving in there that would actually see us debt-free as a church, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Awesome. So good. Wonderful. One sec. Awesome. Great. Now, how many people? Oh, there is one.
What we're going to do, we're going to announce it on Sunday, but in a couple of weeks, we're going to do quite a comprehensive survey. So we want, obviously, a number of people have moved house this year, but we want updated details, email addresses, mobile phones, all that sort of stuff. But the other thing too, we're going to do a survey in regards to what service people plan to attend. And we're not going to be the church where did you go to both services on a Sunday? Just pick one, all right? So we want to try and get we just want to try and get things, our ducks in a row. Some people go, you know what, a Sunday morning service is really going to suit me. And other people go, no, I love the 3 o'clock. I'm gonna stick with that. So don't get me wrong. Once you've picked one, we're not going to be, the Gestapo about it. All right. There's going to be a level of flexibility, but we also it's very, very important that in regards to the kingdom of heaven is actually run by an army of volunteers, and we really need to see people. Really, really like pitch in basically because we don't want the 10% doing most of the work. So we're going to do a survey that people would be willing to actually get involved in different areas. Sound desk, greeting at the door. We're going to do a visitors lounge. We've got, just serving, all that sort of. One of the things that we won't need, which is going to be amazing, is putting out chairs, all right? And what was that? Ian can retire. Another thing too is that it's very important that people are actually like sort of car parking attendants, but not car parking attendants, because you just get someone visiting the church, they park across someone's driveway, it's going to be a massive problem. So just things like that. So there's so many more I's to dot, T's to cross, but once we get on top of it. So I'm going to go into more detail on Sunday, but it's very, very exciting time. So I want you to start to just before the Lord, just say, Lord, how can I increase my involvement seriously? And the other thing too is we've got some major people moving to our church from interstate and some people sort of from overseas. Like, it's a pretty big deal. And they're evangelists. They carry supernatural power. There's going to be a lot of soul winning. So we're going to need people to be able to just do the basics and disciple people and whatnot. We really want to cast out the demon of Christianity as a consumerist religion and a spectator sport. And you cast that devil right out. And because what happens is that then we've got to graduate. We actually have to graduate. So we're going to do quite a comprehensive survey in 2 weeks. So just start to pray into that space. And it's very, very exciting because, like I said, we've been doing this out of homes and cafes for 10, 11 years now. And I'm very, very excited. We're still getting our head around it, but to absolutely be able to do set time events and, we can do conferences on Friday, Saturday night now. We'd never be able to do that. What else was there? And we're going to be doing healing rooms, it looks like, on Wednesdays. So basically, it's not going to be a night meeting. It's actually for non-Christians, basically. But we're going to put the word out there, and it's going to be for a couple of hours around the lunchtime break so people can come in if they got an issue, whether it's something is like the flu or stage 4 cancer or something like that. So there's going to be so much opportunity coming up in this. Who's excited about this season coming? It's just, I'm really excited because I've already seen this, and but we are going to see an outpouring. I know. So I'm Daryl. Did you want to come and do what you do? So yeah, so we're doing a survey in 2 weeks, and just start to say, Lord, what can I actually do? And the greatest in the kingdom are those who serve.
That's right. Come on. It's exciting, isn't it? Okay. All right. Everyone's stunned. They're like. Was that the awe of God, or was that just didn't the funny thing is, it's like, it's shocking. I think it's actually going to, and I'm not saying people, if you're a visitor here, but I think obviously there's been a lot of movements and changes with the buildings for Field of Dreams. And I think it's going to be a serious shock to the system for people for the first month. You're going to be in there and going, hold on a second. It actually happened. Like, I really mean it. I just think, oh, sure.
Sorry, and also too, I was out Monday with that, because we're going through another lender, we had to get another valuation, and so I thought you guys would find it amusing that they usually charge us about $2,500, Rach? But, huh? $2,700, right, and he decided to do the valuation for $1,700. Like, we didn't say anything. Is that crazy?
Everything's about 1,700, hey? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that just wonderful? Isn't that just God? And I just, it's very cool. It's going to be a wild time. And I think that there aren't many churches like ours. I say like ours because there are a few like ours, but not many, who actually own their own building. I'm just telling you. So it's actually a really big deal. Okay. All right. No one believes me of that either. You're like, okay. Can you just get on with the teaching? Okay. Do you really want to hear it? Because it might just be just for you. Yes, Daryl. Okay. Cool. Awesome. Listen. How many people have been here for the last few weeks? Yes. This is going to be a really, really awesome message tonight. You're really going to enjoy it. It's going to tweak a few people, I hope, which is good. The first week we talked about divine setup specifically. I told you a story about Stryker. I talked about this being a 10-week thing for 70 days, and we looked at 70 being a number to prepare people for increase. And we said that what was going to start to happen is that there was going to be increase over people's lives. But we actually spoke specifically about what it would look like for people to carry power. Talked about from the book of Numbers, talked about Moses, and talked about how Moses made a statement. He said, I wish all my people were prophets, or I wish all my people prophesied, in the book of Numbers 11:29. So we shored up this foundation of what it looks like for people to be able to prophesy and you know, carry the word of the Lord. But I said that I had felt like the Lord say that my prophets are rising, but they're rising with power. My prophets are rising, but they're rising with power. And it marries very perfectly into something that Todd's been talking about, miracles and money, M&Ms, but that we would actually start to move in the miraculous like never before. That we would actually get into a place where we start to operate in a dunamis power of God as the people of God. Just like as we look at in the book of Acts, where there were literally unusual miracles, it says in Acts 19, verse 11, unusual miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul. Then you've got literally people walking around getting healed by Peter's shadow, the overshadowing over Peter. And there was something about the realms that they were carrying at that time where miracles just seemed to flow. And how many of you believe and know that how many of you know that we're actually moving into that place as a people, as a people? And so what I want to talk about tonight is I want to talk about cultivating a prophetic culture. I want to talk about cultivating prophetic culture. The second week we talked specifically about becoming the Word and us needing to submit into a process with God where we were actually becoming the Word, the words, the prophetic words that we had received. And you guys remember that? And then we talked last week about waging war with the prophetic promises, but literally there being a warfare stance that we have to stand against the opposition or against any hindrance that comes against us when we're moving into the things of our promises in God. And we spoke specifically about the promises of God. The prophetic words that God gives you are always about other people, but they're about you, but they're about other people, but they're about you. Does that make sense? And so your perfect fit in your destiny, one new man in Christ, your perfect fit you literally have been given a gift. The gift and call is irrevocable. I really believe, I said last week, but basically it's given to you before you were born. Jeremiah 1 talks about Jeremiah being set apart as a prophet to the nations before he was even in his mother's womb. So you've got this predestination element of us walking in the fullness of our calling. And I said last week that I really believed and I really saw that that your personality, apart from you, Michael Halkias, but your personality is perfect. So you have to pick on someone. And so your personality, your quirkiness, your personality, the way that you're wired, your temperament, all of those things are a perfect fit for the calling that God predestined for you to walk into. Perfect fit. You know, every evangelist I've ever met is an amazing salesman. I used to be a salesman. I used to sell in, you could sell ice to Eskimos. Well, there is an evangelism element to that. Does that make sense? And so you start to see that there are different personality types that literally fit perfectly into particular callings and into particular gift sets. And so in saying that, I'm excited to see people come into even more of the things that they're designed to do. And I said last week, if you don't feel like you have found a perfect fit for what you're doing, well, the perfect fit is still to come. Does that make sense? Okay, great. So I wanted to talk specifically about, as I said, prophetic culture, or let's say this prophetic, establishing prophetic community. And this isn't going to go the place you think it's going to go. So I'm just pre-warning you. I'm just saying. Okay. So if you could put up, let's start in Samuel. And if you could put up 1 Samuel, chapter 10 for me. Let's go. We'll go from verse 9. I'm going to try to get the scripture out quite quickly, and then I'm going to do something. Okay. So it was. Now, if you get an opportunity to read 1 Samuel 9 and 10, that would be really helpful. But basically, Saul's in a place where Samuel has just anointed him to be king. This is really going to talk to a lot of people today, so don't fall asleep. Don't switch off. This is for you. We just bind right now that any spirit of slumber in Jesus' name, that everyone would be able to hear this word. And so it says this, so it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel. So Samuel has just done an anointing at the beginning of 1 Samuel chapter 10. So he just anointed him, and Samuel said, all of these things are going to happen to you. You're going to prophesy, but you've basically been commissioned as the commander over the Lord's inheritance over Israel, which is a big word. How many of you know that's a big word? Now, how many of you know that when he was given that word, I've preached on this before on a Sunday, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, he says, this can't be me. And what does he say? Why can't it be him? Does anyone remember what he says in 1 Samuel chapter 9? Saul remarks back to, can anyone remember that? Why? Because he's the least. Why is he the least? Because he's from where? He was from Benjamin, which is the smallest of the tribes. So there was literally something in him. He was like, hold on, you're going to anoint me king, but I'm the least. Does that make sense? And so there was something in his heart that when he received the word, he felt like a little grasshopper. You should listen to Todd's word from Sunday. Not this Sunday. It was Sunday before, wasn't it? Sunday before. It was really, really good. But this is, so that's the back, little bit of background. He's just been anointed. And so then it says in verse 10, it says, when they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the go back to verse 9 again. Sorry. Go back. Okay, there you go. Yeah, I didn't read it. So it was that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, that God gave him another heart. Let's look at that again. So when it was when he turned his back from Samuel, so he gets anointed. Samuel says, you're going to be the king. And what does it say? He says he turns his back to go from Samuel. And then it says that God did something very special to Saul. Then it says this, that God gave him another heart. Now, in some translations, it says literally he replaced his heart. He replaced his heart. Now, his heart is his mind, his will, and his emotions. He became a different man. And so let's say this, and all those signs came to pass that day, and let's go down to now verse 10, please, thank you. Now, when they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And then keep going, let's do verse 11 as well. And it happened when all who knew him formerly saw that he indeed prophesied among the prophets. Now, this is important, I want to catch this quickly. And it happened when all who what? Knew him what? Formally, it's really important. Everybody that knew him formally to what? God changing his heart. Everybody that knew him before Samuel engaged him and then God changed his heart. It's only in a day. This is one day. It says the same day. So Samuel anoints him. You're going to be king over Israel. You understand? He turns his back on Samuel. God changes his heart. Then it says this, and it happened when all who knew him formerly saw. That's the same day. It's the same day it happened. Who knew him formerly saw that indeed he prophesied among the prophets that the people said one to another, what is this that has come upon? Keep going. Thank you. The son of Kish is Saul among the prophets. Now go to the next one. Then a man from there answered and said, but who is his father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul among the prophets? Now just stop there and leave that scripture on. Thank you, Courtney. Now this is really interesting. What does the man say? He's talking about his generational line. He's saying this. Then they said, but who is his father? Basically, he was the son of Kish. So he's now saying, hold on a second. He's asking, who's his father? Isn't he the son of this line? And now he's acting like this. He's behaving like this. It looks like he has become another man. Does that make sense? How many of you know when you became a new creation in Christ Jesus, you became another person? How many of you know that's true? You actually did. Well, I kind of did. I still look the same. Praise God. So, but let me tell you this. It says that you became one new man in Christ. One new man. And let me tell you, it says that you became a kinos, new creation in Christ. Do you know what that means? And it says literally a new creation is something that's never been, literally, it's never been created before. Does that make sense? Did I say kinos? Kinos is time, isn't it? What's the kahinos? And so it's never been created before. It's something brand new. So when you became a new man in Christ, you became something brand new. Everyone say brand new. This is really cool. Okay, cool. Okay, awesome. So we've got this situation then where we see Saul, we see all this stuff happening. And they go, okay, well, what's this about prophetic company and prophetic community and power? Let me explain. I'm glad you asked that question. So if you want to go to 2 Kings chapter 4 for me, Courtney, that would be wonderful. If you go to 2 Kings chapter 4, and I'll go from, and you'll catch this, and you'll go, oh, my goodness, Daryl, this is the best message I've ever heard. This is wonderful. And I say, I know. It is wonderful. And so, sorry, I didn't write the scripture off down. But if you go from, I don't want to read the whole thing. So if you go, okay, so from verse, I'm just going to say this, don't put this up, but from verse 18, we've got this whole situation where there is a situation with Elisha, and he's been in this process where someone made him a room. There was a really nice lady, she said, it was a Shunammite woman, she said, I'm going to make Elisha a room in my house. How many of you have heard this story before? And then Elisha's really excited, and so he gets to hang out. And when he's lying on the bed, because he's obviously feeling very rested there, he says, woman, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? And she says, and he says, do you want me to give you favor? Do you want me to talk to the king for you, talk to the captain of the guard? Like, what can I do for you? And then, you know, there's no response. So he talks to Gehazi and he says, Gehazi, what shall I do for this woman? Now, this is really interesting. This is so bizarre. And then Gehazi goes, her husband's old and she's without child. Give her a son. He goes, great. So he goes, call her over here. This is so powerful. It does not say that God told him. He made the decision. This is crazy. Is this okay? It's in the Bible. So he calls her over and he goes, hey, how are you doing? She goes, good. I just made that bit up. But, and he said, about this time next year, you're going to be with the child. And she goes, don't lie to me. And what happens? The next year she has a son and exactly at the same time. And everything's great. And she's got this beautiful boy and all that. And then one day it says that the boy went out to work and it said that he got a headache. Now, this is a very, very bad headache because he dies. Okay, all right, okay, it wasn't that funny. Everyone's laughing. It's because he's raised from the... Oh, it's Todd that's making it. Oh, surprise, surprise. No, I'm just joking. And so, okay, so this is what happens. So if you want to put up for me, just go from verse 28 for me, and then I'm just going to read down. And so what happens is she then, so this is the woman now, and she said, did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I say, do not deceive me? So she is absolutely distressed. She's in a bad mood. Obviously, it's not a good day for her. Now keep going. Then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him. Keep going. But lay my staff on the face of the child. Keep going. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. Keep going. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore, he went back to meet him and told him, keep going, saying, the child has not awakened. Keep going, thank you. When Elisha, came into the house, there was a child lying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands, and stretched himself out upon the child. And the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself out. This is a praying man. Walked and stretched himself out. Then the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. Let's just leave it there. So that's really cool. Is that cool? Okay, I'm going to put another scripture up. This is something different. So can you put 1 Corinthians 4, verse 14 for me? And we're going to read down through that as well. I know, I just want to get the scripture out, and then you go, oh my goodness, this word was just for me. And I'll go, yeah, it was. Okay, cool. Okay, I did not write these things. Now, he's writing to the Corinthians. The Corinthians have been very naughty people. Everyone say naughty people. Naughty. They are. I did not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. Keep going. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Keep going. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Keep going. Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. I will not know the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. Keep going. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Well, this is really interesting. Well, why are you talking about all these random scriptures, though? I'm glad you asked. So we've got this situation where we've got a man of God, Elisha, and we've got his attendant. Everyone say attendant. Attendant. Now, there's a big problem here. Let me tell you what the big problem is. Do you want to know what the big problem is in 2 Kings? Gehazi. He's a big problem. I'm not saying anyone's Gehazi here. Why is he a big problem? Because his boss said, take my staff, do this. So it should have been as if Elisha himself was in the room. But what happened? I read a really good article this week. What happened? Gehazi was the powerless prophet. He was the powerless prophet. Now, if you read on in 2 Kings chapter 5, and I said to you as part of the reading for this 10 weeks, I really encourage you to read 1 and 2 Kings. If you read on, there is a guy called Naaman, and Gehazi, his heart manifests, and basically, I spoke about it in the first week, but Elisha ends up healing Naaman, who's the captain of the guard, tells him to go and wash and do the things he needs to do. Then Naaman offers loads of money to Elisha. Elisha says, no, I don't want any money. And then Gehazi's, when Naaman goes, okay, I'm going to go, then Gehazi goes, hold on a second. I'd like some money. So then he runs after him, doesn't he? And then he does, now there's, and he takes the money, and what happens to Gehazi? Gets leprosy. Now he gets a very particular kind of leprosy. And the reason we know that is because in 2 Kings chapter 8, he's actually talking to the king. Do you understand? Now if you have full-blown leprosy, you can't go in to talk to a king. Do you understand? So he had a leprosy that would never leave him, but it wasn't in the same level of contagion as other leprosies. So it's either that, because there's a white leprosy and then one that's not white. I've researched leprosy recently. So that's the reason that we know that, because he actually had audience with the king. The only other alternative is that the book of Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings, are not written in any kind of order. Does that make sense? Because you've also got later on in the thing that he's still hanging out with Elisha, and then we all know the famous scripture where the Lord's, you know, he says, you know, open his eyes, and, you know, we all quote that one, you know, and it's great. But this is what I'm finding really, really interesting. So we've got this whole scenario where you've got the manifestation of his heart, and his heart's not good. Let me tell you this, that there is a level of, all the way through 2 Kings, when you read about Gehazi, you literally see him bumbling through and literally mucking up a lot of the time. His discernment level is very bad. You actually see in one part where the Shunammite woman comes up and grabs hold of Elisha's feet to tell him about the dead child, that Gehazi actually comes up to shove, it said, the Bible says, to throw her away or to shove her off. And I've been doing a lot of research. There's a lot of really good teaching on this. So some of this I'm drawing from that. But I want to encourage you. So what you can start to see the manifestation of something in his life that isn't okay. So you look at that. There's no mercy there. There's no mercy. And there's no discernment. So even Elisha has to say, hey, can't you even see Gehazi? Can't you even see that this woman is distressed? Do you know what I'm saying? He's going, don't bother the master. And he's like, whoa. You're missing this right now. You're missing this. And so, as I said, you've got all of these different, you've got these various manifestations of this whole concept. Now, the problem that we've got, though, is Gehazi is in a place of incredible influence. Who did the king in 2 Kings chapter 8 call upon to sit in his chamber and tell him about all the miracles that Elisha had done? Gehazi. Is that influence? He was known, let me tell you this, that he was in one of the most, some commentators say he was in one of the most privileged positions of anyone in the whole country at the time, in the whole nation. That's crazy. Is that crazy? So what you see then is there can be a level of prominence released into your life, the word of the Lord. Now, how many of you know that Elisha would have got the word of the Lord to choose his attendant? Okay, none of you believe that. Okay, Elisha would have got the word of the Lord to choose. How many of you know that people have choice? Do you understand what I'm saying? And how many of you know that God gives people ample opportunity not to choose silly things? Now, I really believe, and this is not biblical, so this is a Daryl, whatever, but I really believe that over the course of time, Gehazi walking with Elisha, first of all, we know that he was actually called to imitate the way that Elisha did things, exactly the same way that Elisha imitated Elijah. Is that right? So he was actually called to imitate in the same way. But so what was happening is there was something in his heart that didn't allow him to take on the attributes of his father in the Lord. And as a result, his heart never changed. And because his heart didn't change, when we read about and preach about Gehazi, it's not actually overly positive, is it? Is that this isn't a rebuke, by the way. This is going to be fun. I feel like everyone's like, well, don't, am I okay? And so what we've got then is we've got this whole concept where there are various opportunities that he has had, and he's literally flunked and failed in most of them. Now, what's really interesting is the name Gehazi means vision in the valley. Vision in the valley. And what most commentaries say, and most commentators say about that, is that his name is a contradiction in itself. Because there is no vision that exists in the valley, the vision exists in the high places. So what is that all about? There's no vision in the valley. Well, how can this is what they say. So this is a commentary. I'm sharing with you some of the theologians and what they say about particular things. This is what I want to say to you. Is you become one new man in Christ, right? And so we receive the things. And just like when we become one new man, when we receive a prophetic word, that prophetic word is actually designed to change us into the person that we need to be to walk out the thing that we need to walk out. Does that make sense? It actually requires us receiving a new heart, a change of heart. Why? Because we can't be the same person here as we need to be. Does that make sense? As we need to be able to take on the fullness of more of the promises that God has given us. Let me say, so let me encourage you in this. Is everyone okay? How many people are tired? Are you okay? Just one person is honest. That's good. Okay, good. So I hope my voice, look, I know that people probably listen to podcasts with my voice on to help them sleep sometimes, but don't do it now. Don't do it now. I do have a very good audio voice. I know that. Thank you so much. I hear that all the time, actually, people comment. They really do. I get emails. I just love listening to your voice. I'm saying, great, I wish my wife did. I'm just joking. I'm joking. That was a joke. She's going to listen to this. So, okay. But we're talking about establishing prophetic culture, aren't we? We're talking about what it is to have a prophetic culture established. And so there have been many misconceptions. You'll catch where we're going and you'll like this. So there have been many misconceptions about what a prophetic culture is. Now, there is some stuff that you're going to... How many people have ever heard about a prophetic company or prophetic culture? You know, Bethel's got a really prophetic culture. You know, we hear about that all the time. You know, you talk about a prophetic culture, a kingdom culture. There are churches called Kingdom Culture Church. How many of you know that kingdom culture, prophetic culture? When we talk about God establishing us in a prophetic culture, remember this is a deep going deeper in the things of the prophetic. I really believe that what God is doing is he's actually establishing a prophetic culture in South Australia. I really believe that he's actually establishing a full prophetic or prophetic /kingdom culture in South Australia. And we are all becoming partakers of that because there is something that we're going to draw from the spirit that's released from many, many hearts agreeing about particular things that is actually going to become like an impartation that thrusts us into the nations. You understand? Now, this is really, really cool. I believe that you could be in the most anointed church in the world and you could become a partaker of the prophetic umbrella. And I'm going to talk about prophetic culture in a second. But you can become a partaker of the prophetic umbrella really, really easily. And I really believe, and I've spoken about this part before, but I really believe that you can actually look amazing. That you know that you could go into a home group and you could prophesy in a small home group and the overshadowing, the mantle in that home group could be a prophetic mantle, that they could be connected to a prophetic church, and you could prophesy till the cows come home. You could prophesy till the cows come home. And you outworking that place of gifting can actually become something in your heart that is not conducive to you walking in the fullness of your calling. Okay, no one wants to hear that. Okay, cool. Have you got it? Because when power comes upon you, your heart is always tested. And it's how well you can submit into the processes of God that actually determines whether you walk in the fullness of the power and the calling that God wants to release you into, or whether you, like Gehazi, end up getting a mild form of leprosy. So, I'm just joking. That was a... Gosh, all right. That was a joke. That was severe. So you're going, well, what's this all about? Why are you talking about this? Now, let's talk about kingdom culture for a second, or prophetic culture. How many of you know that the kingdom, you've heard theology, the now and not yet of the kingdom, but how many of you know that the kingdom of God, when it comes and manifests, let's just go back to the book of Matthew quickly. In the book of Matthew, I'm going to wear this. In the book of Matthew, it says specifically, it says, when Jesus is praying, what does he say? He says, pray like this. And he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And he says, your kingdom come, your will be done. What? On earth is in heaven. We quote that all the time, right? Now, you need to understand that where there is a prophetic culture, the prophetic culture isn't just prophesying over individuals. The prophetic culture is prophesying about the kingdom to come. And it's not just prophesying about a coming kingdom. It's actually drawing the coming kingdom into the now. So a prophetic culture is actually a culture that manifests the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, heaven on earth. So what does it look like to actually be in a place where there's a manifestation of heaven on earth? Well, let me tell you what it looks like. Thanks for asking. Let me tell you what it looks like. It looks like no more sickness. It looks like power and healing. It looks like encouragement. It looks like joy. It looks like inclusiveness. It looks like, and so what we're doing is we're actually saying we're part of a culture. We're doing something right now that is actually creating a culture that actually is literally like a shadow of heaven on earth. You know, in the book of Luke and in the book of Matthew, it talks specifically when Jesus sends the 12 out, he says, go and tell them that the kingdom of God has come near. Whereas come, and it, you know, that it says come upon you. And the word come upon you there, as I've said before, literally means to be glued or fastened to this place. It literally can be looked at as a permanent fastening when they go out and drive out demons and do all those different things. The kingdom of God has been fastened upon you. See, a prophetic culture being established is literally like the kingdom of God being fastened in that place. You understand? And so what happens is you come into a culture where heaven is then made manifest, and you become part of that culture. But let me tell you this, it's not just in the four walls of the church, because what happens is that you carry that culture as an independent ambassador of heaven into every place you go, and you actually become a kingdom culture carrier in every place that you are, or a prophetic culture carrier in every place you go. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, no one, you do. Okay, good. So you're going, well, how does this all tie in? Let me explain it. So what we've got then, we've got this process then where God is saying, I'm establishing a kingdom culture, a prophetic culture, where there's going to be healing, miracles, where you're going to see the prophetic released. You're going to see so many things happen. You're part of it. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. And in the midst of that, I'm actually going to release you into the fullness of the thing that you were called to do before you were even born. You go, oh, praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. This is a good word, you know. And how many people get excited about that? You get excited, right? You think, yay, God. You know, you get, you know, people are starting to see spiritual songs and angelic visitations, all those things. And we're like, oh my goodness, I'm starting to activate. I'm starting to activate in this, in all the things that God is calling me to do. But this is what's really, really interesting. And this is what the Lord's been speaking to me about. And this is going to be two parts this week and next week. And so I want to encourage you in this part of what we're supposed to be doing in this 10 weeks. I really believe that unless we allow the Lord in the midst of everything that we're doing to give us a change of heart, that we will never walk out the fullness of the manifestation of the promises that he's given us. And I think what will happen is that we will become partakers of something when we're in corporate gatherings, but when we go out, we haven't been changed. When we go out, we haven't been changed. When we go out, we're all right on a Monday, but on a Tuesday, we're like, oh, I've got to go back to work again on a Wednesday. And it's not that we've lost the vision because we need to get pumped up again at church. That's not, I'm going to listen to 25 Bethel podcasts at work. Praise God, that's a great thing to do. But if you're listening to a Bethel podcast rather than ministering to your work colleagues, there's a problem. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, I'm just going to pray because I don't want to be in this workplace. And God's going, what are you praying for? Yeah, that I'd be an evangelist. And you've got 30 people sitting around you, but you're listening to your Bethel podcast. See, the problem isn't, it's so weird. I've been seeing things with my natural eye. I have not seen with my natural eye, the way that I'm seeing at the moment. I literally saw something manifest today. They would call it a hallucination if you went to a... I literally saw something manifest as a solid object and move in front of me today. I've never had that before. It was crazy. Anyway, so I was on the phone to a prophetic person. So they were talking. And I said, oh my goodness. You know, so... So what I'm trying to say is that it's not about the fact that you haven't become a partaker of the prophetic company that you're part of. It's about your heart not being changed. Because when your heart's changed, it doesn't matter what day of the week it is, you are a walking, talking manifestation of culture, of the king, not just the kingdom culture, but of the power of the kingdom of God. And anyone that comes near you is going to become a recipient of something that you carry. And why do you carry it? Because God did something in you. And you were never the same again. You understand what I'm saying? So this is a good word. This is a word for all of us. And so what I'm really interested in at the moment, I don't care how well someone prophesies, and I'm not being rude. I'm saying I don't care. Gifting is, I know a guy who is, he's 20 now. When he was 16, and I've said this to you before, met him, and I was like, he came and sat down, and they go, Daryl, you really should meet this guy. And I said, sure, I'll meet him. And he was 16. I was doing a youth camp. I wasn't even doing it. Belinda was doing it. And I sat down, and I was just chilling in a thing. And the guy came and sat next to me, and I was like, oh, this guy's interesting. Well, he started to speak, and I have never in my whole life, apart from with one other person, ever heard the revelation that he was released from a person. The first person I'd ever heard it from. Second person in my whole life. And the other person was an extremely prominent minister. So I was sitting there and going, yeah, that's really good, yeah. And he goes, have you ever thought about this or seen this or do this? And when I do that, when I go into that realm and I release that, I do it like this, and I work with that angel like that because that's the best way to really take that bit. And if you're doing a stronghold over a city, it's best to do it like that because if you don't take the four corners of this, then the... And I'm like sitting there going, okay, don't make eye contact. Just go, yeah, that's really good. So I was like, yeah, that's really good. And so he was... outstanding. And then I looked over at his mentor and I was like, what the heck? And I said, how old is this kid? He said, 16. I was like, my head was like, so I went away and I rang his mentor and I said, that guy is one of the most gifted people I've ever met, ever. And I got an opportunity for a season to mentor him. And I talked to him on a regular basis. He doesn't live in this country anymore. And so what I want to share with you is the gifting doesn't make any difference. Why is that? Because I've seen so many gifted people, but it's not, and this guy's an amazing minister now. But I'm saying it's never about gifting. It's always about the heart. So you can be the most wham bam shikibumba. I've saw 20 miracles and it was all amazing and all of that. And I know that I talked about power a minute ago, but I'll explain that in a second. You can do all of these different things, but if your heart isn't in the right place and your heart isn't in that place where you have been changed into another man or another woman, you will literally be like a shooting star in terms of what you are able to release to people in your workplace and in the world. And maybe if you're called into the church, into a congregation, it will be a year, and then you'll be like, woo. Why? Because your heart couldn't sustain. The gifting took you somewhere that your heart couldn't sustain. Do you understand? This is so important. Why are we talking about it? Because we're talking about prophets with power. See, this is really interesting. You say, well, yeah, you just, if I walk in power, I can just, you know, the seven sons of Sceva, like, you know, I call on the name of the Lord, and I can just walk in power and all that, you know, and I just do my thing. Let me tell you this. If you walk in power and your heart's not changed, your whole world will crumble. And it will, because you don't have the ability to be able to stand when you're actually carrying that level of, or let me say this, when you're starting to release that level of power and trying to stand in a level of authority in God. You hear what I'm saying? Because people say, well, have you got the name of Jesus? And you have, and I'm not trying to say that. But what I'm saying is that this whole process is what we need to embrace as we start to be introduced to a prophetic culture. Because it's only this process that's going to allow us to literally hit places where we're working the miraculous, where we're doing things that we're called to do, where we're walking into the fullness of the calling and the promises and the prophetic words that we've been given, where we start to walk into those things. But as we're walking in those things themselves don't actually trigger parts of our heart that will end up making us crash and burn. And they will. It's just the way it is. Do you understand what I'm saying? Which is why people go, well, I really want my promise, you know. And it's like, let me give you an example. You know, I really want to walk in something that God wants me to walk in. But you know what? I've got a really strong addiction to pornography. I'm just giving you an example now. And you go, well, I've got a call as a minister. I've had all these words about being an evangelist. Oh, okay, cool. So if you have a stronghold of addiction in that area and God anoints you as an evangelist, what's the enemy going to send you? A girl. Why? Because it was never healed. And then your ministry took off and you became the worldwide amazing evangelist. But then it came crashing down because a beautiful girl came into one of your meetings one day and gave you the eye. And that was it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Why? Because the heart wasn't ready. And we moan all the time constantly and go, God, when are you going to release me? And you go, when are you going to allow me to do that heart work? Because that's what it looks like. I've wanted to be released so many times for so long. God, release me. Release me. Do you know what he said to me 1,000 times? And I've preached on this before. Do you know what he said to me? Forgive your father. Well, shikarabababa. Get behind me, Satan. Over and over and over. And when I quieted myself in the Lord, that was the word he gave me. I said, God, I need the next level of breakthrough. I need it. Give it to me. Call him. Forgive him. That, are you sure that's you, Lord? Are you sure? One day, and I've told, have I shared this story? Yeah, I have. But yeah, it's pouring with rain and I ring him and we have an amazing reconciliation. And a few weeks later, I get a phone call, hey, we really feel like you're going to be pastoring. I'm like, what? And so I'm sharing it with you because this is the whole thing. I really believe that God wants to anoint people with power in this hour. I really believe that. But I really believe that he's more interested in how long we can sustain it because our heart has been changed with what he's. And I'm not saying we haven't already, we're one new man in Christ, I get that. Do you understand? But let me tell you this, that there is something, we can allow God to do things in our heart that will literally bring us into a place where we will not just walk and operate in power all the time. And you know, I'm not trying to say that, you know, that's not, for me, that's not the highest thing. The highest thing is love. I want to be, you know, I can have all power, but if I'm not loving people well, that's a big problem. That's what we had with Gehazi, shoving a woman out of the sight. He wasn't discerning. And actually, that wasn't a loving response to somebody that was in distress. Does that make sense? And so that's what God wants to do. Okay, cool. So I'm glad. So is everyone okay? So how does this then relate to community right now? I'm glad you asked that question. See, there are a few different things that can quench a kingdom culture. How many of you know that that's true? You know, spirit of competition. There's just so many that I'm not going to go through them all. I could go through them continually. But do you know what the thing is that God wants to establish more than anything in a prophetic community and a prophetic culture? He wants to establish us in one heart and one mind, of one accord. Do you understand? It actually creates something called, the Ephesians talks about the bond of peace. It actually creates a bond of peace that is actually, I'm good with you and you're good with me. Does that make sense? This is actually really, really important because then there's a level of unity that's released at a place of heart agreement. This is so crazy. You're going to love what I'm about to say, I think. Maybe you won't. And so it creates something that actually releases a level of blessing that you couldn't fathom. And that's what God wants to bring us into, this place of heart agreement, heart, all this stuff, and all this stuff, and walking in all this stuff. Now, the really interesting thing about this is that God will use the people around us to literally, there's a beautiful scripture that Todd quoted on Sunday, I think. It says, the wounds of a friend are faithful. Yeah? Better a wound from a friend than what? A kiss from an enemy. And so, an enemy. I've been watching Octonauts. I don't know if you know what that is, but that's what my son's addicted to. And so, there is something that God wants you to understand is that the thing that you, the most important thing in our life is the relational connection that we have with God and we have with his people. That is the most important thing. There's nothing more, things don't supersede that. It's actually our connection with the Lord, our intimacy with God, and then our intimacy with his bride, our intimacy with people, because we're all brothers and sisters, we're all family in Christ. But this is really, really interesting. When we come into this place of prophetic community and prophetic culture, and we start to really move in the things of the prophetic, move in the things of power, we start to actually, you know, start to move in these things. What happens is, and we've spoken about this, but I feel like this is happening, it's happening all over again, as usual, because things come in cycles, that God actually challenges parts of our heart, and when he challenges parts of our heart, he then wants to address those particular things, but he wants to do it in a safe place, where we are actually in a culture that when something comes up, we're in a place where we can actually get it dealt with and do what we need to do in order to be able to move on and fly and move into the thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you know the worst part about this is? When you are in a prophetic culture, God uses the people around you to draw stuff to the surface. No, are you serious? Let me say that again. When you are in a prophetic culture, kingdom community, God uses the, everyone say God uses the people around me to draw stuff in my heart to the surface. Do you know why he does that? Because the command for us with one another is that we would love one another. So he depends or not just depends, but he uses that biblical standard because the reality is that we shouldn't have a grievance with one another. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he uses that in a safe place to draw stuff to the surface. So this is crazy. This is deeper in the prophetic, isn't it? But then do you know what the enemy does? The enemy then points at that person through your mind and says, that person has got a spirit, that person's got a problem. Hold on a second. Yep, I'm talking to you. If you were just like, oh my goodness, so that person isn't Jezebel, doesn't have witchcraft. Nope. And I'm not saying that there aren't attributes and traits, that, and I believe that we're going to come into a place where there is a place where we will actually be able to sit down with people and they can say, hey, you know, I've been praying for you for a few months and I really feel like is there something I can pray with you for, rather than just going, I see this over you. Does that make sense? But what's really interesting, now people are really tweaking. Gosh, I can feel you all. But what's really interesting is it said, and I've quoted this twice in the last four sessions that we've done. It says, do not be unaware of the enemy's schemes, which means do not be ignorant of the enemy's devices. But we remain pretty ignorant. And we forget that when God accuses us, when the enemy accuses us, he then puts in our mind an accusation against somebody else. It's the enemy. He is the accuser. So if you get something in your head that person is anti you, does that make sense? Now, I'm not saying that if people aren't, but I want to prove something to you. We need to gauge what God actually wants us to do with the information that's running through our head and heart. Because we have to come into a place of immense discernment, because the thing that the enemy doesn't want is for us to get along, for us to have unity, a bond of peace, and for us to have hearts that can actually carry power, wisdom, a manifestation of the kingdom of God, the sevenfold spirit of God. The enemy doesn't want us to be able to walk out those things. So he's going to stop at anything he can in order to bring us into that place. You know what I'm saying? Now, this is the worst part. This is the worst thing I'm going to say, and I have to say it, but it's just what it is. I can preach this today, but not everyone's going to get it. And you will still trigger, and you'll still think that, it will still happen, you'll still trigger, you'll still think that you're more mature than you really are, all of us. We still think we're further along. You know what I'm saying? We'll still let those people rub us up the wrong way. I don't know what it is, I just don't like that person. That's a demon in you, or on you. Do you understand? Putting a hatred in, oh, you don't understand, shush. Did Jesus love Judas? Did he love Judas when he dipped the bread? Yes. Did he? Yes. Did he love Judas when he was on the cross? Ah, yes. Oh, so there's no excuse then, is there? Has anyone betrayed you to crucifixion yet? Hold on. Anyone? No. Oh, I didn't think so. Okay. So. See, the people that you think in your heart are the ones that you dislike the most are actually doing the best thing for you, and actually you will find that those people, actually you would want to thank them in a few years when you realize, when you get to where you had to go, that God used them so powerfully. Do you understand? It's really bizarre. It's really important. You call me Daz. I used to have a tattoo that said Daz, but I got it covered. It's a true story. It's when I met the angel. It's good. So why am I saying that? Because God doesn't want a company of prophets to arise that can't walk in power, that can't walk in unity, and can't walk in a bond of peace. He wants us literally to carry the kingdom culture of heaven. And what he's saying is, he's saying that you can be in a culture, you could be the most privileged person in Israel and be interning with the most amazing prophet in the whole of Israel, and yet you could still not allow your heart to be changed in the way it needs to be changed for you to be able to carry power, to carry true power, to carry the things that you need to carry, to actually walk out the fullness of your calling. You know that Gehazi's calling was not for him to have leprosy. That was not what he was. Do you understand? It was not. His calling was to take on the mantle of Elisha. not just a double maybe a triple if there was such a thing. But that was his calling. His calling was to be able to imitate Elisha in his ways, the same way that Timothy imitated Paul in his ways, and to literally advance the prophetic mantle that had been put on Elisha and himself to literally see God's will be done through his life. But he wasn't able to do it. Why? Because he had the wrong heart. He wasn't able to manifest who he was because his heart wasn't in the right place. So, gosh, this sounds really harsh, doesn't it? Is everyone okay? All right. Good. Okay, cool. And so I'm not all about, like, we went through a full thing last year, I think it was, or the year before, where we talked about the heart journey and all of that stuff. And we're not going into any of it. I'm not saying that. We're not going into that. What we're going into is this thing where we are now, this is like a prophetic advance. And I think what people want to hear is they go, I want to be activated and see angels. That is the easy part. That is the simple part. Well, I haven't seen anything yet. That is the simple part. The hard part is the heart part. Did you get that? The hard part is the heart part. And this is the thing. People want to go to advanced, but I think Todd said this before, but, you know, and I've heard many preachers say this, you know, but why don't we do a conference on patience? Who would go? I wouldn't go. I'm telling you that right now. Todd goes, hey, I really feel like we need to do we're doing a character building series, a conference, and it's called Patience. And I'm going to be 2 hours late. And people can wait for me. You know, and we'll see what triggers, and then we'll see, and then we'll do some heart journey. You know, now you saw how it works. See, this is the real stuff. And we want advanced prophetic training. Let me tell you this. I am in a very privileged position personally, and I know many other people are as well around the world and here as well, but we are mentoring prophets. Like, that's what's happening. And are they all called to fivefold offices? No, but some of them are. We are in a place where some really, really significant ministries in general are connecting and relating, and we're processing with them, and we're doing life with people that have big callings. And but let me tell you this, that many people here and many people that are listening to this podcast, you're calling is off the charts too. It's a big calling. And literally what God is doing is going, will you accept the challenge of coming into the highest level of the calling that you have been called into? Will you walk in a manner worthy of the calling that I've given you? The gift and call of God are irrevocable. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling. We know that Romans 11:29, and then we've got Ephesians 4:1. And so these concepts of the things that God is calling you to, but it's a higher office and it requires a higher level of literally holding yourself together. And we talked about this. So why are we talking about this? Because what's happening is that God is saying, you want it. And you go, yeah, I want it. And then we've said this before, we've got to become the word. But part of becoming the word is working out what it looks like for our heart to be changed, to be transformed, in order that we can then walk out the things that we are supposed to walk out and carry the fullness of the power as prophets or as a prophetic company that we are called to carry. This is so important, you know. And God is going to see, people love the prophetic when we prophesy the great, you know, God's put greatness on you, you know. You're going to be, God's put greatness. Daryl, God's put greatness on you. I know you know that. You know, and there are albums coming out, and there's going to be so many things happening with Daryl, you know, and he's got a good name too. And this is the thing, and we love those words, and I run the council in South Australia for the Prophetic Council, but we love those words and we grab them because they fit so cleanly into 1 Corinthians 14. And we go through verse 2 and 3, talking specifically about prophecy is for edification and comfort. And it talks about building up and exhortation, all that stuff. And it is absolutely. But how many of you know that this teaching is a prophetic word? This is a prophetic word. This is God speaking. This is God speaking loud. You go, I want a word. This is a word. But this word isn't any less important as the bigger, let me say this, the words that make you feel like, wow, yeah, I'm going to walk into everything. Do you know, I got to a stage where I didn't want any more words because my life was so terrible. I didn't want any more words. Why? Because I knew that the words were doing something in me to produce something that I was going to come into, and I didn't want any more. So I thought, I don't want any more. Don't give me any more words about anything. until I actually see these ones landed and see me able to walk out the words that I've got right now. Let me tell you this, that you've all received probably a good amount of prophetic words in your life. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. If you haven't, there's going to be some prophecy next week, so get ready for some people. But there's going to be, you know, that we are in a prophetic culture. And yes, prophecy is so important that we say to people what they're going to become. But let me tell you this, as part of the prophetic culture that God is establishing, the prophetic is good, yeah? It's good to come in and get a prophetic word. But do you know what's even better? Being able to walk side by side with someone. Being able to cover them. And being able to help them journey anything that's coming up for them that has been a hindrance to them walking in the fullness of the calling that God has given them. How much more important is that? And how much better is that? To be in a company of people going, you can literally go up to someone and you can go, hey, you know what? Do you, you've been praying, someone saying, I've been praying for you. And they go, can you tell me what you've been getting? And actually getting, being real with them. And being able, I'm talking about the other person. I'm not talking about the person that was praying. I'm talking about the other person and going, hey, you know what? I know I've been struggling with stuff. Can you help me to get free from the stuff that you're seeing right now? Do you understand what I'm saying? And they go, I don't know what it looks like, but I'm going to help you because we're going to journey this together. And we're going to see you get set free from the particular things. But this is the funny thing, that God, the enemy will normally trigger you on a person that's actually called to walk out and journey with you to see you set free. Ooh. That's true, because it will be the exact opposite a lot of the time. How many people you ever had a friend, but you really hated them when you were in school for years and years and years, and then they become your best friend? How many people ever had that? Only one person. You really, only one. Okay, well, it happens. And so let me tell you that sometimes the enemy will work a tactic that literally draws you away from somebody that's actually got a key to seeing you transition into something even more for your life. And that's really, really important. You go, wow, is that true? Yeah, it is true, because I said it. So, kingdom culture, is everyone doing all right? Nearly done. Kingdom culture, allowing God to change our heart in order that we can do the long journey and we can actually walk in a place where we're carrying power like never before. How many people want to carry power? Yeah. You want to carry power? You like that, don't you? People like that, yeah? We're going to run the healing rooms, right? And there is going to be power. There is going to be power manifest. And this isn't just about you coming to our church if you're not part of our church. I'm saying that this is just a sign of what people are going to walk in. You're going to start to see conditions, see sicknesses, see illnesses. Literally get into a place where you can see problems over people or someone. Where you can literally go, oh my goodness, hold on a second. But then you carry the solution to that problem. You go, wow, I see that you're really suffering with something. Wow, don't go near that. I've said this before, but don't go near that person. They're really manifesting witchcraft. Don't go near them. Are you kidding me? If they're manifesting witchcraft, that's the very person that you should be going next to if you feel like you're called to carry power. I just want the prophetic and discerning in spirits. Well, what are you supposed to do with that? You mean I'm supposed to? Yes. But do you understand what I'm trying to say? I think that there's a real hypocritical thing being burned out of the church, where we actually realize that everything that we're literally trying to attain to is for the well-being and the good of everybody around us. And that we're not going to be sidelining people. Like, I get excited. You want to see, like, we're going to see, I know that this is the case, and I've been involved in healing rooms ministries for many, many, many years. Let me tell you this. We are going to get so many people. How many people know, what does it say Jesus hung out with? Did he hang out with all the people that had it all together? Did he or not? Who did he hang out with? The people that didn't have it together. How many of you know, you open this door to these healing rooms in South Australia, watch what happens. Watch what happens. Oh my goodness, there was a witch in here. Great. Bring her in. Do you understand? No, she's a plant. Great. She can hear the word of the Lord. But do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? I'm just trying to say we've got to think so much bigger than we do. And so that's part of what God wants to bring us into at the moment, is this whole concept of who we are. But I feel that there is something of power, and people want to... How many people... Who's got a stomach condition over here? There's someone over here. Because something in his stomach, like it's a knotting. This isn't a generic word. This is a specific word. So this isn't generic. Now, there's someone over here. You've got a knotting in your stomach. It's around here. Who is it? It's like a knotting. You can put your hand up if you want. Don't be scared. If you don't want to be, don't come to me at the end. Is there someone here you got a knotting in your stomach? I'm talking about over here. This doesn't need to be just here. But there's like a tightness. It's been a manifestation. Is it you? It's you. Okay. So do you want to just stand to your feet? And just, I just want to show you something. Just put your, and just, Ava, just move the chair back from behind her. See, the thing is this, that when you start to walk in this, the angels actually start to, we're not going to be long, but the angels start to, they start to minister to you, with you, sorry. And how many of you know that when you run healing and you do healing, that the angels who work in and release healing from the throne of God, from the kingdom of heaven, they come and minister, they come and manifest. How many of you know that that's true? And everyone wants to work with an angel. But let me tell you how you start to work with an angel. You let God deal with the matters of the heart. The seeing and all of that's easy. What you want to move into is, but that's awesome. So did you move the chair completely away? Is it completely away from behind her? It needs to be completely away. And then can I just get a catcher behind her, someone strong quickly? Yeah, great. Awesome. And I just want to show you an angel because there's an angel here right now and he's a healing angel. And I used to work with him a bit, and I haven't done this for, how long, Todd? A year? Have we even done this? It's been a long time. Long time. Oh, there you go. And look, he's ministering to her right now. Just put your hands out. There you go. And so I'm not doing anything. Nothing. That's the angel that we came with tonight. I'm not even praying. That's the angel that works with healing and for the healing rooms. He showed me him tonight. And he said, just keep... As Ray's doing, he's not touching her. Now she's being unraveled. Boom! Bah. It's good, isn't it? Isn't it fun? There it is. There it is. You see, she's being unraveled because there's been something coiling around her stomach and the angel is uncoiling her. Look, just look. You can actually watch this with your bare eyes. See, the kingdom of God is not a matter of yap, 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 but a matter of power. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise for that. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so what happens is, Haley, stand up. God's going to heal you for your flu right now. And someone come behind her, but stand right there. You can't be in front of a chair. So I want to show you something. And this isn't about someone manifesting. And just receive, come one step further this way. Perfect. Just put your hands up. This isn't, and one step backwards. Just one step. Yeah, perfect. Perfect. Yeah, perfect. And just receive. So we're not going to do anything. I'm not even going to pray. So there is something. So Haley had said to me earlier she was feeling like she had the flu, and God's just going to lift off that flu right now. So it's really interesting, isn't it, that there's this thing, this manifestation, and you don't even have to do anything. You don't even have to do anything. You actually just are lining up. Everyone wants to work with the angels. They want to work with people. But this is the thing. You're just lining up to what heaven's doing. Haley, put your legs straight for a second, please. Don't support yourself. Thank you, Jesus. All right. There you go. So what happens is you've got to lean into the things of God. And it's not about someone falling over. It's nothing to do with that. It's to do with actually being able to engage with an angelic host that's here right now. Does that make sense? And she can feel it right now. You can feel the heat, can't you? Is it all over your body? It's amazing. I can see it. It's like fire that's just baptized her from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. Does she need to spin and fall over? No, but the angel's here. I told you and that's what's so exciting, isn't it? Isn't it exciting? Now, I feel like someone had a problem in your larynx over here, and it was really sore laryngitis or someone. Is it you? Okay, stand up. Great. There you go. Come on. And Rob, can you stand behind it? But just come and stand here. I just want to show you something. This isn't about watching someone manifest, and I don't know if she will or not, but it's actually partaking, becoming a partaker, everyone say partaker, of the healing that God's releasing. And he's just take one step back, shall we, right? But this is the angel, this is a healing angel that's just starting to minister. And it's really fun. And it's not about watching someone manifest. It's actually about watching the power of God come from the top of someone's head to the sole of their feet, the power of Jesus, and watching that fire burn out anything, any infirmity, or anything that shouldn't be in their physical body in order that they can become a recipient of the things of the kingdom of heaven. Is that good? Isabella, come quickly. Just quick run though. I want to show you something. I want to show you. And Anne's fine with this, but I want to show you what you carry. So your hand, just hold her right hand. You don't need to do anything, but just hold her hand. That's it. That's all you need to do and just stand in front of her. That's it. So just hold her hand. Just what? And so you're carrying, you feel that, right? So do you feel that? What do you feel right now?
Buzzing.
buzzing. So that's good. So it's electricity, isn't it? And you can start to feel that. So you just release. Just say, I release right now.
I release right now.
Power.
Power.
Into her body.
Into your body.
In order that you would receive a full healing.
In order that you receive a full healing.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
There you go. And so just receive. And so it's coming out. See, there it is. You see that electricity coming? And the electricity is coming. It's like zzz. Do you feel that? It's like an electricity. You can't make this up. We're not making it up. Like, this is what it is. So just move your thumb into the middle, right in the middle of the hand. No, further down, there. And then grip it harder. There. That should be good. And so what you've got then is you've got these things. Hayley, how are you feeling? Are you okay? We're nearly done. It's not going to take long. I just want to show you something. You feeling it? Did it come? Do you want to sit back down? Are you feeling, yeah? You can sit down. That's cool. But this is what I'm trying to explain to you. It's not about, this is not difficult, and it's not about someone contending and praying and getting, it's just aligning. Everyone just say aligning. We're just aligning with what heaven's doing right now. Is that good? Now, what are you feeling? I feel, I can see stuff on you right now. Come on, stand up. I can feel, I can see it. There it is right there. Just come on, stand behind her quickly. Don't worry about, and she'll be fine. There, just put your hands out now. Father, I thank you right now for Nell. I thank you for a new season of healing and commissioning. I feel like that angel specifically is an angel for healing, but I feel like there is a commissioning thing in this place too. And so, Father, we thank you right now for Nell. Well, Father, we thank you that she's coming up to a new level in many things, especially in the things of the prophetic, especially in the things of healing, especially in the things of power. Father, we thank you, God, for who she is and what she carries. And I see the Lord mantling you in a new way. And Father, we thank you. Dark blue is government. So, Father, we thank you for that new level of government coming over her shoulders in this next season. And I know you felt something. What do you, you were feeling something when you were sitting down, Nell? I started to just see the Lord on you. And so just receive just for a second if you can. And so, Father, we just thank you right now. And we just thank you for a breakout in this place. We're nearly done. It's okay. We thank you for a breakout of healing in this place right now. There'll be a breakout, Father. We thank you that there'll be a, let there be a breakout in the spirit right now in Jesus' name. Father, would you usher in all the angels, God? All the ones that are assigned to this meeting, whatever it looks like right now, I know that people need to go, but whatever it looks like, Father, we thank you for every angel that's been standing guard on the sides. They stand on the sides and they wait and they go, can I come in now? Can I come in? Can I come in? Can I come in? And we just say that they can all come in Jesus' name. They can all come in. Paula, there's one right next to you right now. I know you know that. Just stand up. You don't need to do anything. There'll be no, just stand up and just receive. He just wants to minister just into your ear right now. Just receive it. Just receive. Thank you, God. There's an angel right now. And this is what it's about. It's not all about angels all the time. But when they're there, you've actually got, there it is right there. There's power. There's power. There's power over Paula. Paula with power. That's the new season. Paula with power. 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 Paula with power in the name of Jesus. And it's so, so amazing. And do you know, can I just get a man behind her? This is not about making her think. Move the chair away from her. I want to show you something. You create space for the angels. They move in a different way. And it's not about her falling over. Just want to show you. There's power right now. Paula with power. Father, we thank you that you're coming on her, that there is a new anointing, that she's going to move in miracles. God, that there is something. That's why her right hand, it's all about, there's something on your right hand right now. And the Lord says that you're going to move in power, that you're literally going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover, that you're going to actually heal with a word. So Father, we thank you for those new healing revivalists, evangelists, prophets coming forth in this hour, in the supermarket, in a school, in a college, in church, whatever it is, God, that they carry the healing word of God, the healing power of God in Jesus' name. So, Father, we just release that right through her in Jesus' name, a new level of power in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for that right now. Woo! Father, we thank, there it is. Ah! That's good. Come on. Woo! Come on. We are, who's excited? Who's excited about life? Who wants to be commissioned at a new level? Everyone stand to your feet. Father, we thank you. We're just going to, thank you, God. And I just, we don't need pads or anything. I just want you to just put your hands out. We're going to finish in 2 minutes. You can grab your communion. We'll look forward to seeing you on Sunday. But what we want to do is we actually just believe that there's a commissioning right now with power. And I just really felt so strongly that healing angel in this place tonight. And so, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We receive a new commissioning. Don't be shy. Bonnie, don't be shy. Just receive that right now. So, Father, Caitlin, just receive that right now. There is a commissioning coming right now in the spirit that's actually going to commission people for power. And yes, there's a heart journey. Yes, there's stuff we deal with. But, Father, we thank you that you are commissioning and recommissioning people today with a new level of power in Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for Susie. We thank you that a new level of power is coming over her right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus, someone come just behind her. There she is. She's just be strong behind her. Father, we thank you for new levels of power right now. Father, we thank you for Caitlin. Father, we thank you for Darren. We thank you, God, for any person that would receive it, for Esther, God, for Nick. Father, we thank you for any person that would receive it. It doesn't matter if your name is called out or not. Father, we thank you for Liz. Father, we thank you right now for Joan. Father, we thank you that there is a new level of power being released over each and every person in this place in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for an awakening to be able to see and hear in the things of the heavenlies. Father, we thank you that they would be able to co-labor with the angelic as their eyes and ears are open to be able to partner with them and see breakthrough come right now. And so, Father, we thank you that that's coming right now over Isabella and her mum, Father, right now. We thank you, God, that they're like a dynamic duo. And Father, we thank you that they are going to move in incredible power in this next season, and incredible words of knowledge, incredible. I feel like the Lord's saying you're going to be literally seasoned so quickly. So Father, we thank you for a quick seasoning in Jesus' name. How many people would like a quick seasoning in this stuff? And so Father, we thank you for a quick seasoning to be released over every individual in the name of Jesus.